My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ our Lord, Happy New Year. From the looks I'm getting from a few of you, you think your pastor may have gone insane. But not on this part. It is the new year. It's the beginning of the church year. As we transition from the season of end time to the season of Advent, marks the beginning of another church year. And how fitting it is that we wrap everything up with Thanksgiving. To be able to give thanks to our God for all the blessings of a year that He has once again given, and then to be able to begin in this season of Advent saying we are preparing ourselves for Christmas. We're getting ready for the coming of Christ, that we can take a look and see that baby in the manger and rejoice once again, because God has kept His promise. Promises mean a lot. In fact, if somebody makes a promise to you, something that they're going to do, you usually wait in eager expectation until it's fulfilled. Maybe we get eager for the coming of Christmas. I know for my family that's the case. We have a tradition. It's imposed by me mostly. That we're not allowed to do anything to prepare for Christmas. No Christmas music, no cookies, no trees, no candles, no lights, until after Thanksgiving Day. Which can guarantee then, as soon as the Friday after Thanksgiving comes, they're really eager to get the tree out, and the bulbs, and the lights. So when that day comes, right away afterwards, here it all comes in, and for the most part, we're already done. Because they're eager for it. And they revel in the fact that the promise that I made has been fulfilled, and we can be able to move forward and to prepare ourselves to celebrate for Christmas. We have a promise in front of us today. In fact, as we take a look at what the prophet Jeremiah says, we see a promise that is so much better and so much bigger than really putting up a tree and lights. Because it's the promise of a coming Savior. It's the promise of deliverance. And if God is the one who makes this promise, you better be guaranteed it's going to get fulfilled. In fact, what God is telling you to do now, as you also are looking forward in this Advent season for the coming of Christ, as we're preparing hearts and minds, to take a look here and behold the branch of David. That prophet Jeremiah, I'm going to be honest with you, he wasn't very well liked. He wasn't well liked because the message that God sent him to the people with was a message of doom, of wrath, of destruction, and of exile. The prophet Jeremiah was telling the people that because the kings had become so corrupted and because the people had turned their backs on their God, that the Babylonians were going to come and conquer everything. They were going to haul the people off into exile. They were going to lose their promised land. God's wrath and God's judgment would be close at hand. Well, as you can imagine, that wasn't a very popular message. People didn't like hearing all the doom and the gloom. And so they didn't really want to hear what Jeremiah had to say. But even in the midst of his depressing message, Jeremiah also has things like what's in front of us today. This is the promise that God once again reassures Jeremiah of. He said, "Listen, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise that I have spoken to the house of Israel and concerning the house of Judah." The Lord declares, "I will fulfill the good promise I made to Israel and Judah." In the midst of all of the destruction, in the midst of all of the talk of woe and wrath, Jeremiah says, yes, but people, don't forget that God has already made a promise and He will keep His promise. I mean, how guaranteed, how certain is it that God is going to keep His promise? For us, if we make a promise, something might come up, something might get in the way, it might need to be delayed. One day, 2 days, maybe even indefinitely sometimes. Because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't always have the power to control the future and to make things happen in a way where everything works out okay. But God does. God knows exactly what's going to take place. He knows everything that's going to go forward. And He has the power to make sure that His promises get fulfilled. There's absolutely no doubt there. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If God makes a promise, it will be fulfilled. That's why he says the day is coming when the Lord will fulfill his promise. Not might fulfill, or maybe if he gets around to it. It will happen. A promise that he had made a very long time ago. A promise that he had constantly been telling his people about again. There's a reason why it would have been especially fitting and comforting for the people right now when Jeremiah speaks it. Because, remember, he's talking about exile. And as the people are being hauled off into captivity, as they figure the world is crumbling around them and they've lost absolutely everything, that's the moment where they question the most. Is my God truly the faithful God he promises to be? And then the words of Jeremiah hopefully ring in their ears. The day is coming, the Lord declares, when I will fulfill my promise. The promise to send the offspring of the woman to crush the serpent's head. The promise that you will have everything I have ever promised to give and you will see it in its fullest. Do we ever have a problem remembering that for us and ourselves too? Especially when we're in the midst of doom and gloom and exile. When the world seems to be crumbling around us. When everything goes the wrong way. It's easy in the midst of the pain and the tears of loss and tragedy, of hardship and difficulty. It is really easy at those points to wonder, is God a God who's going to fulfill the promise that he has made? God said he would be loving. He said he would provide. He said he would take care of me. And I don't necessarily see that happening. And then we hear the words of Jeremiah ringing in our ears again. Because he says, the Lord declares, I will fulfill the promise that I made. When everything seems to be falling apart, when times are the most difficult, that is when this promise of Jeremiah is even more beautiful. When it rings true and means so much more. You ever had those moments where you wonder, has God forgotten? Has he ignored me? Is he far from me? And then we see the manger. And then we see the baby. And then we remember that Jesus was born into this world to be the Savior whom God had promised. Jesus is the answer. He's the fulfillment of the promise. And he's the answer to the doubts and the questions. Has God forgotten me? No. If God forgot me, he wouldn't have sent his son. Will God fulfill the promise to take care of all of my needs? If the answer was no, we wouldn't have the baby of Bethlehem. In fact, that's what Jeremiah is even talking about. Because he goes on further to say, in those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to grow up from David's line. He will establish justice and righteousness on earth. Here's the promise. I will send the one who will be the branch of David's royal line. The problem the people faced was that they had a whole slew of corrupted kings. Ever since David and Solomon, one after the other, it seems like those kings had become even more corrupt until they turned their back on God entirely. And of course, if the king, the one who's supposed to be setting the example for how to live and who to worship and what to do, if they're corrupt, well, then it trickles down to the people too. And we see that in the history of Israel. We see that in the nation of Israel and of Judah. One corrupt king after another leads to one corrupt citizen after another. And then the promise of our God. I will make a branch come from that royal line. A branch from David's line. But what sets him apart from all those wicked kings? Did you catch on to it? Did you hear what is different about this king, this branch of David, different than every other king that followed after? It was that he would be righteous. Not wicked and corrupt. Not leading the people astray, but guiding the people back to the promise of God. Guiding people back to the Lord and to what he has done. He will be righteous and holy. Do you see how Jesus is the fulfillment? Not just of this promise, But of all of God's promises, the promise that he will take care of your greatest need, well, he does. He does by taking away your sin. I think it's fitting our gospel lesson today. Maybe you recognized it, and maybe you even wondered for a moment, well, is Palm Sunday really the most fitting for Advent? We've got several months before that day comes. I think it's extremely fitting. Because look, here's the branch of David. Look, here's the mighty and majestic king who rides victoriously into Jerusalem so that he can die for you. Behold the branch of David. The fulfillment of all of God's promises. He never forgot about you. And he never will forget about you. He's never forgotten his promise, but he brings it to full fulfillment because we have the baby of Bethlehem. We have the one in the manger. How beautiful it is. This righteous branch, different from all of the other kings, because he will bring righteousness and salvation, not wickedness and corruption. He will save his people. He will restore them through his death. And then, because he has restored his people, Jeremiah says something I think that is extremely profound. We finish up what we are looking at this morning as he says this, "In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. This is what she will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Did you catch on to that? This is what she will be called, not he, not the branch of David. She, Judah and Jerusalem. In other words, if we might call it today, the people of God, the Holy Christian Church, us who are gathered here, believers, those who put their faith and trust in God, and all of a sudden he says, they will be called the Lord our righteousness. Doesn't that seem a little off to you? How is it that we, corrupted sinners as we are, can be referred to as the Lord our righteousness? Isn't that a name that should be reserved for Jesus and Jesus alone? But here's the joy of the fulfilled promise. This is what that branch of David has come to do. To not just impart forgiveness, but to give his righteousness to his people. So that just as Jesus is the Lord our righteousness, we too now in God's sight are the Lord our righteousness. Because everything that Jesus has done has been given to you. Everything that he earned by his perfect life is yours through his innocent death. We are seen in God's sight as if we had that life of Jesus. All because the branch of David comes in righteousness to fulfill the promise that God had made. This is what we're doing in Advent. This is all that we want to remember. We're preparing our hearts for the coming of Christ, but not just as the baby, but as the King in majesty and glory. We're preparing ourselves to understand and to see that his promises are fulfilled, even when we might struggle and strive. Even in hardship and anguish and tears, our God says, I have never forgotten you, and I never will. My Son is the proof. Your Savior has done everything. I hope we all can keep our minds on that as we go through these weeks, which gets hard when we get ourselves so wrapped up in how much hecticness there is right before Christmas. But this is the real reason for it all. It's the purpose of Advent. It's what we are intending to do. It's what we want to do. To keep our eyes focused on Christ, the fulfillment of that promise, and everything that it means for us. God has not forgotten you. He keeps his promises. Bigger promises than we might make with one another. Better than all the Christmas cookies and decorations. This is a promise of salvation and a promise of life and a promise that he has made complete in Jesus Christ. That righteous branch of David, born and died for you. Amen.